Key, open your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Appreciate all of the music tonight. I want to do something a little bit different, I think we've done it before, but something we used to do in Spanish church from time to time is to have a responsive reading, or to read antiphonally, and I'd like for us to do that here with Isaiah chapter 53, so you can remain seated, but I will read the first verse, and then if you will read every other verse throughout the conclusion of the chapter. Isaiah chapter 53, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Tonight, God, we're going to have opportunity in a few moments of observing the Lord's Supper. But God, we are very grateful tonight for the death of Jesus Christ. Lord, for the blood that was shed, for the body that was broken. We're grateful, God, that He came in direct fulfillment of the word of the Lord as spoken by the prophet Isaiah. We're grateful, God, that when he came as that perfect lamb, that yes, Lord, his blood was sufficient to stop all sacrifices, to make it no longer necessary to bring animals to the temple. But God, that through his sacrifice once and for all, truly all who believe in him can find forgiveness of sins. We ask now, God, your blessings on your word, and pray, Father, that in a few moments, as we do observe the Lord's Supper, that all of us again would take the time to deliberately stop and thank you for your sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we've had the opportunity to worship the Lord through music. And my prayer is that our hearts have been prepared for our observance of the Lord's Supper here in a few more minutes. And having now read Isaiah 53 in its entirety, I would like for us to make some simple yet profound observations of the perfect Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world for our sins. The writer to the Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Revelation 13:8 makes reference to this fact as well in stating of those that had rejected Christ, "The day will yet come when all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." As we think of our Lord and Savior, it's interesting to realize that when we talk about the message of Jesus Christ and we think about what he accomplished on the cross of Calvary, that yes, this was something that God had very deliberately revealed to his people, truly all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when we think of the sacrifice that was made there to cover for the sins of Adam and Eve. And of course, as time moved on and throughout the annals of history, we found how God would use different men and prophets. We think of Elisha and Elijah. We go forward and we think of the kings that God used to yet again make the children of Israel mindful of the fact that there was a sacrifice that was going to come. We're grateful for the words recorded by both David and Solomon and letting us know of the coming king. But equally, we thank God for the prophets that God used to spell out for us in very simple language that there was going to come one lamb that would be the end of all of the other lambs. There was going to come one lamb who would be the supreme sacrifice. Of course, when we think about the children of Israel, this was something that was very easy for them to relate to, because they were already accustomed on a frequent basis of going to the temple. And even if they themselves were not personally making the offering of a sacrifice there of a lamb, there would be others who were doing that. And truly every day of the year they could go and they could see what God was doing. They could see those that were mindful of their sinful condition and desirous of having that blood to cover their sins. Of course, when we think about our Savior, we have to realize again, just as much as what truly did happen when he came to this earth, that there was nothing in his outward appearance that would have drawn someone to him. And that's why it's so difficult oftentimes for even the Jews today to acknowledge that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has in fact come, that he has already given his life, because he did not fit their neatly described stereotype and thinking somehow of the fact that Jesus Christ was going to come in all of his grandeur and splendor, which certainly belongs to him. But they did not understand that God would of his own volition choose to put that aside, to humble himself, to become obedient unto death. And how grateful you and I should be that when we think about that Savior that came, there was not anything there that was desirous in his outward appearance. There are those that would yet still reject the fact that he's really come. But he came and he gave his life so that he could be the one true Messiah, so that he could come as that perfect Lamb and be able to be your sacrifice and mine. I'm so grateful when we think about Jesus Christ that he truly took upon him all of our sufferings. You know, a lot of times it's easy for any of us to think, well, you know, but I've got this problem, or I have this physical malady, or I have this difficulty, or as Paul tells us, I have this thorn in the flesh, and I've got something that I'm dealing with, or I have something that is an inconvenience on a daily basis. None of us will ever know this side of glory what true suffering and agony is all about. Because our Savior, Jesus Christ, took upon him the payment that you and I should have paid. He stood there on that cross and hung there on that cross where you should have been, where I should have been. And of course, when we do think of all of the physical suffering and realizing, nevertheless, what is a picture of suffering and of grief and of sorrow, from that picture comes the joy, the healing, and the spiritual salvation as found in the blood of Jesus Christ. Why again was it that he sacrificed himself on that cross? Certainly, as we looked at this morning, not because of any of his own sins, but rather in order to seek to satisfy the Savior, the God Almighty, and his holiness, he came to be your sacrifice and mine. We think of the fact in which, as that lamb was there, he opened not his mouth. The Bible tells us, and he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly, in Matthew chapter 27 and in verse 14. And yet, as we think of the sheep really as being often referred to as a dumb animal, we think of a sheep as one that would easily follow and go astray. The Bible says that that truly is the condition of every single one of us prior to coming and receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior. There's no one who could in any way, in and of himself, stand before us tonight and say, no, I have not gone astray. No, I don't have that sin nature, because all of us have inherited that nature from Adam. As the Bible reminds us in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 12. And we think about everything we have done in and of ourselves, looking after our own desires. And yet God came in the flesh to take your place and to take mine. We think of what was being accomplished here when he came to give his life on that cross of Calvary. And I'm so grateful for the fact that, yes, Jesus, as the Lamb of God, allowed himself and chose deliberately to stay there, knowing full well what was going to happen. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 1, where we see again in that very simple phrase as reflected to us from John, how he understood who the Messiah was. He looked at Jesus as much more than a man. He looked at him as much more even than an earthly ancestor, a cousin. Yet we see here in John chapter 1 and verse 29, the Bible says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now we think of Jesus Christ as that perfect Lamb, as truly being taken from prison and from judgment, as Isaiah tells us there in Isaiah 53 and in verse 8. We think of the fact that yes, he was taken to death. He gave his life. He shed his blood. And in a few moments, as we have opportunity of observing the Lord's Supper, it's not just that we have grape juice chosen arbitrarily. It's not that we have some unleavened bread that is here chosen arbitrarily. But it is to deliberately make every single one of us mindful of the fact that Jesus Christ shed his very blood on the cross of Calvary. His body truly was broken for you and for me, where your blood and my blood should have been shed. Where your body and my body should have been broken. But he did that again because he came to be your perfect sacrifice. You know, it's interesting when it says here in Isaiah chapter 53 and in verse 8 that he was cut off out of the land of the living. And what that literally means is the fact that he was left with no descendants. We think of the way in which he was here on this earth. He did not marry. He did not have any children. There are not any that could consider themselves to be somehow the biological or physical offspring of Jesus Christ, of the Son of God. Oh, but how wonderful it is to realize that there are millions and millions, if not billions, who have already come to be part of the family of God, to as many as believed on him. And that is my prayer tonight, that all of us will make certain that we are a part of God's family, that we have had our sins forgiven, that yes, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, when you think about, again, Jesus Christ and all of the suffering that he endured, and we reflect on how wonderful it is to know him as our personal Savior, Peter reminds us, again, when thinking about this, that truly it was through that great sheep, that great shepherd, that Lamb of God that came, that you and I are now able to find direction for our lives. For the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Who is that shepherd? Who is that bishop? None other than Jesus Christ, our supreme sacrifice. But then we realize again, we think about his death and his burial. We think about the fact that, yes, it was a part of God's plan. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That is not that he found delight in bruising him. It's not that he found some type of joy or elation in seeing God the Son to suffer. But rather, it's simply an acknowledgement that Jesus Christ's suffering was in fulfillment of this perfect, divine, sovereign will of God. And again, that he gave his life because he loved you, because he cared about each one of us. And we think of the offering that is there made through his body. What a joy it is to know that yes, yes, our Lord and Savior, although he died, although he gave his life, we do know that he lives yet again. As the Bible says in verse 10 of Isaiah 53, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. What is it that he's going to see? Well, we understand that he was going to bear your iniquities. He was going to bear my iniquities. And of course, we think about the fact that due to his obedience to the will of God, what a joy it is to know that yes, yes, that sin has been completely forgiven to all who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There is no additional sacrifice, which is why when we think about observing the Lord's Supper, what we are doing is being mindful of the blood that was shed, of his body that was broken. But in no way does this grape juice become the blood of Jesus Christ. In no way do these wafers, do these crackers become the body of Christ. Because thank God he was offered once and for all as the perfect Lamb of God, as the one who gave his life, not repeatedly giving his life, but he gave it once. And now it's up to you and to me to trust and to put faith into that great sacrifice. We think again the fact that he gave his life, he took our punishment, so that many, that is all those who put their faith and trust in him, will not have to bear that punishment, can look forward to spending an eternity in heaven. And if you go back and look in verse 12 of Isaiah 53, it's interesting the word picture that the prophet Isaiah is giving for us. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. This is referring to the general, after winning a battle, who would then share in the goods that were taken from the enemy. And so we think about our great God, Jesus Christ, who came, who gave his life as the perfect Lamb of God, and now is able to celebrate in the victory because he did conquer the grave, because he did have victory over death, because he did have victory over sin. That now those of us who put our faith and trust in him can be a part of God's eternal spoils, if you would, from a spiritual standpoint. But you know what is so wonderful here is we think about God, and again, mindful of all of his suffering and thinking of the agony that he was enduring there on that cross. And how was it possible that under the greatest physical duress known to mankind, sweating drops of blood, that there, at that moment in time, He was able yet on the cross to make intercession even for the malefactor that was hanging right there beside Him, and was able to tell him, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." You know, if anyone would have been justified in focusing on their own suffering and thinking of their own pain and their own agony and ignoring a request for help and turning a deaf ear to anyone who would make a plea or a cry, but that was not the Lamb of God. That was not Jesus Christ. And thankfully, yes, He did pray at the same time from that same cross, "Father, forgive them." When He said that, He knew of you. He knew of me. To be born 2,000 years after His life on this earth, and yet you and I were on His mind when He was there on that cross. And thank God that He ever liveth to make intercession for all those who put their faith and trust in Him. So tonight, as we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper, every single one of us needs to take the time to say, "God, am I grateful for that sacrifice? Lord, does the fact that Jesus Christ would give His life, would shed His blood, am I grateful for all that He has accomplished?" You see, the Bible tells us, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." In Hebrews chapter 7 and in verse 25. You may look at your life tonight and say, "But Pastor, I've got some needs. Pastor, there's some difficulties there." Let's keep in mind, as Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" There's not one need that you have tonight. There's not one need that you will have this side of glory, but that God cannot and will not meet it as you come to the perfect Lamb, the One who intercedes on your behalf. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, tonight we thank You for the Lamb of God, Lord, who was stricken, smitten of God, despised, Lord, carrying in His body our sins, suffering our grief. And yet there on that cross, He was making intercession for us who were yet to put our faith and trust in Him. But God, tonight I would not be so foolish as to think that everyone here has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And God, our prayer tonight would be that as we've had time to reflect on these great hymns of the faith, as we've thought about that sacred head that truly was wounded, as we've reflected on the Lamb of God, Father, that tonight anyone who has yet to put his or her faith and trust in Jesus Christ would come and receive forgiveness of sins. And God, to those of us who have already put our faith and trust in Christ, may we examine our hearts anew. And Lord, if the Holy Spirit brings to mind a sin that is there, may we be quick to confess it, to seek Your forgiveness, to make things right with You, so that as we have opportunity to observe the Lord's Supper, we can do so with a clear conscience before God and before man. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.